This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
We're reading from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. And she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." So Peter went out and with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the Scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Well, it's Sunday. It's the third day since Jesus had been crucified on that horrible Roman cross. The Gospel of St. Luke tells us that Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Joanna went to the tomb. Mark adds that a woman named Salome was with them. But John focuses on Mary Magdalene. Why? You see, Mark tells us, though, that Jesus had cast out seven demons for Mary Magdalene. She had been blessed by Jesus' ministry. And by the way, none of the Gospels says that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. The Mary who was an immoral woman turns out to be Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. John tells us that in his Gospel. Yet, we still have to ask the question and ask it over and over again. What were those women wanting to see? What were they expecting to see? The Gospels tell us that they were bringing spices with them, spices which were used to embalm bodies. Did they believe that Jesus would still be in the grave? That's an interesting thought, considering that some of them had seen the stone put in front of the tomb. They all knew that the stone was too big and heavy for any of them to move. So, what was on their minds in that early hour of the day? Did they doubt the words of Jesus, who had told them, along with his 12 disciples, that he was going to rise from the dead? Or did they kind of misunderstood what that meant? You see, like the 12, they had seen Jesus' miracles. They had seen him raise the widow of Nain's son. They had likely seen Jesus raise Lazarus. But still, they brought spices to the tomb. Now, lest we be too critical of them, let's be really honest here. How many times have we seen or experienced a miracle of Jesus in our lives yet still doubt the words he spoke in the scriptures and the promises he gave and whether they apply to our lives too. So the women arrive at the tomb, and what do they find? Well, they see that the stone had been rolled away from the opening of the tomb, just like he said it was going to be. So what does she go do as soon as she sees that the stone has been rolled away? Well, Luke tells us that all the women went back to the 11 to tell them that the stone had been rolled away and that they didn't find Jesus in the tomb. John zeroes in on Mary Magdalene, who goes to report to Peter and John. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him." Now, Mary is one of the first witnesses to the resurrection, along with those other ladies who were with her. Now, have you ever wondered why the Lord allowed Mary Magdalene and her companions to be the first ones to report that the tomb was empty? Trust me, I have a class full of girls, and I've taken note that they can't keep secrets for anything. It's like telling the Associated Press. Within 45 minutes of any of those girls hearing a secret, it's all over the school. So, tongue-in-cheek aside, do you think maybe that Jesus let the women be the witness to the resurrection first because he knew they would go tell somebody? Guess what they did? They went and told somebody, just like they were supposed to. Now, the positive side is that they were being obedient to his commands to share the good news with people. What were they doing? They were acting in obedience. Now, if a man had been the first to see the empty tomb, and I'm confident that I pretty well know what a guy would do, he might go tell someone, but not after tossing about the details in his head. The debate would go something like this. The tomb's empty. I wonder what that means. Jesus said he would rise again. Does this mean he's actually risen from the dead? Nah, can't be. I'll bet the Romans have removed the body because the Pharisees warned them about the stories of Jesus saying he would rise from the dead. Yeah, that's it. Logic tells me that Jesus' body has been taken away. Well, I guess I'll go and tell the other 9 or 10 that the body's no longer there. How do we know that this is what a guy would do? Well, Luke tells us that the 11 didn't believe the women, and they thought, to quote Luke exactly, but these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. John tells us that Simon Peter and John took their skepticism to the next level because they had to run to the tomb to check to see if the women were actually right about the tomb being empty. Both of them were running together, but, you know, John outran Peter and he got there first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there. But he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Here's the deal. If someone had taken the body, those grave clothes would have been laying all around in the tomb, or they would have left the grave clothes on Jesus and just picked him up and carried him away. See, there is no way that if someone had taken him, that those grave clothes would be laying there on that stone block exactly in the position they had been in when he was in them. And then the towel that had been on his head was neatly folded in another spot in the tomb. Keep in mind that Jesus was in charge of every detail. We saw that on Maundy Thursday. And even how he chose to rise from the dead was a part of the perfect act of ensuring our salvation. It was so thoroughly planned that even the grave clothes were placed neatly in the tomb and unmoved by Jesus leaving them. Evidence that something remarkable had actually taken place. You see, they believed that Jesus was no longer in the tomb. They had seen that. We know they harbored some doubts because John confessed in the passage that as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. With Peter and John gone, Mary Magdalene stood outside. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. So she finally looked inside, and who did she see? She saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." And even in her distress, she still referred to Jesus as her Lord. But she was getting ready to have a wonderful surprise. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And again, supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Now it's Mary Magdalene's turn to have a little bit of doubt. The amazing story was so overwhelming, it was probably hard to handle. But take note, at one word from him, she immediately recognizes that she was talking to her risen Lord. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." She saw him and then she heard him speak and she recognized his voice. That's more than what we can say about those two guys on the road to Emmaus on that same day. They saw the risen Lord. They even spoke to him, walking along with him over half the journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they didn't believe that they had seen Jesus until he blessed the bread at the dinner table. So they were with him, and they didn't recognize him. Jesus told Mary Magdalene to go tell the disciples, and for a second time, that Jesus had risen from the dead. This time, though, she could tell them that not only had she seen Jesus risen from the dead, but she had actually seen him and heard him. And she did just that. She went and proclaimed, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Well, guess what? Jesus is still alive. Amen? Yes. And that's our hope for eternal life. But guess what? We're supposed to do like Mary Magdalene. We're supposed to tell others that Jesus is alive and that he is risen from the dead. Because his resurrected body, his resurrected life gives hope to the hopeless. He gives peace to the tormented. He gives purpose in the middle of the riddles of this life. And best yet, he gives us the promise of eternal life to anyone who believes in him. That's still true. It was true 2,000 years ago. It's true today, and it'll be true tomorrow, and it'll be true the next day after that. The fact is, he is risen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.